So how would this workforce program work for DIA? Because the revolving door between industry and government is often not very kosher.
Not very kosher. I think that's actually a very good way to put it, because it has come under a lot of criticism over the years, and it's a major challenge, not just for DIA, but really for all of government. And if you think about it, the average age of the federal employee is getting lower. I mean, if you think of the buyouts and early retirements from the number of agencies that we're reporting on and we're hearing about, that's growing as these people take those buyouts and early retirements. That means they're going to eventually hire new people, and those people tend to be younger. The Defense Intelligence Agency, however, is in a bit of a different position. They, like almost all the intelligence community, the 17 or so agencies that make it up, have seen a huge influx of new hires since those September 11th attacks. Now, David Shedd is the deputy director of DIA. He says 65 to 70% of his employees have come on board in the last decade. Now, remember, not all of them are in their 20s or 30s, but he believes that these employees are not going to stay with DIA for their entire career.
We need to, over a period of 20 to 30 years, offer viable entry and exit ramps to our personnel. When I think back over 30 years, if I had left the government at year, pick any year, 15, I would have been branded as someone who, okay, goodbye, have a good life, you left the service. I think we need to change that dramatically. And I think the demographics tell us in our society today that the average young person will have 4 or 5 careers. The intelligence community has to be able to adapt and adjust to that and bring that talent back in at various stages as he or she has gone off to do something different, and bring that back into the community by way of experience.
Now, Shedd spent most of his career as a case officer for the CIA before coming to the Defense Intelligence Agency. He says the entry-exit ramp program would let employees leave but actually keep their security clearances active, which is a big deal. It can take up to a year or more to get a new security clearance. Now, I caught up with Shedd after the event Wednesday on how the intelligence community has changed since 9/11. It was sponsored by the Government Executive Magazine. He says the entry and exit ramp program would change the culture and meet the needs of DIA's changed workforce.
It is tied into looking at our internship program, looking at our hiring practices, diversity, and attracting first-generation individuals who have a passion for the business of intelligence, but at the same time aren't quite sure where their careers will take them. And so it's really looking at the full scope of the individuals that are interested in intelligence as a career.
So, Jason, then what would the timing be for DIA to set up the entry-exit ramp workforce program?
The program is actually just in the beginning stages of development. Shedd says part of the program is starting to come together now, but it may take actually another year before it's ready.
We want to make sure that it actually has applicability to what our employees are saying. It's like looking at telecommuting. You don't do it overnight. You want to make sure that you're actually addressing what the issue is and at the same time facilitating so that you actually are moving in that direction, but adapting as you get more information from the employees themselves. We're designing pilots right now, but we haven't initiated any yet.
Shedd says that the need for the entry-exit ramp program is coming actually from the employee surveys and the exit interviews of employees about why they're leaving. Sometimes, as they told DIA, they just want a different experience. And he says from his experience talking to Generation X and Generation Y employees, that's very consistent. In fact, he made the comment, listen, I have 2 boys who are in the Generation Y, and that they've said, I'm not going to stay at my company for 30 years, and like my dad did. And he believes that that's why this program is necessary, because it's a response to not only to keep good employees, but also to bring them back later on.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Now, along with the workforce, we've heard a lot about information sharing and collaboration as areas of big change. Did you get a sense of the transformation that's occurred in those areas?
You're absolutely right. Information, collaboration, I mean, that's the thing we hear about time and again about post-9/11. It was the biggest failures because of that led to 9/11, and it's one of the biggest areas of change. In fact, she makes this comment yesterday and said, without the collaboration and integration across the intelligence community, the Osama bin Laden mission to kill the al-Qaeda leader could never have been as successful as it was. However, he says, there's still obviously areas that need to be improved, and the intelligence community has actually begun working on them.
We are looking on virtually every subject and are far from doing it yet, but it's unfolding, of creating communities of interest where the analyst inside the intelligence community, regardless of where they sit in an agency, are able to collaborate in the kinds of things like A-Space, but then more specific on an intelligence challenge or issue for their area.
Now, Shedd says another tool that they've just started to use is the blog. I mean, this is something we've talked about for years. Everyone seems to have a blog. But in the intelligence community, it's a little different because of the idea of need to share and bring people together. He said just recently there's a cyber conference, but the 2 weeks prior to the cyber conference that DIA sponsored, the attendees actually got together through this blog and discussed issues, concerns, ideas. So actually when they got to the conference, those discussions at the conference were actually a step ahead where they normally were, and they had started to get that what they call the trust, and that's the key here. I don't know you, but I start to trust you because I read what you wrote, and I understand your ideas, and I go, okay, that was the person who wrote it, and I think they have some good ideas, or, hey, look, they're a real person now behind that blog. But it's not just about bringing people together. It's also the explosion of the data collection has made it much harder on analysts. And, in fact, better technology is needed, even though there's been leaps and bounds over the last decade. John McLaughlin is a former CIA deputy director. He says technology is both the intelligence community's friend and adversary.
My sense is we're still not where we need to be in terms of analytic tools, basically software tools, that allow us to, as an intelligence community with this vast volume of information, to do what you do when you go and order a book on Amazon. You ask for a book, and Amazon says, you might also be interested in. So in intelligence terms, that means I have a report that says, you know, a guy from, I'll make up a country, a guy from Albania, that's my favorite made-up country, has just visited a very bad extremist in Yemen. And I would want my computer then to say, you might also be interested in. We're getting better at that, but we're probably not where we ideally would want to be on that score. And it isn't a matter of not trying. It's a matter of it's hard.
Now, Shedd adds that it also takes a combination of human intelligence and data. So here we go back to the beginning of what we talked about. People can provide the context and understanding of all that data, or in the intel world, it's called the decision advantage. And again, it goes back to DIA has to ensure that they're recruiting, retaining, and hiring the best people, which means the entry-exit ramp program helps people not only come in to the intelligence organization, but leave, gain new experiences, and then bring those experiences back to, again, give DIA and other intelligence agencies what they're calling that decision advantage.
And Jason, just a quick question. You said earlier that under the Shedd's program, people would keep their security clearances if they wanted to come back. That is not necessarily up to the DIA, whether people keep their security clearances. Any idea how that could actually come to pass legally?
I think that's definitely one of the things they're starting to work on and figuring out. As I said, you know, a lot of these pieces have not come together yet. But I think what they can do is, you know, to keep an active security clearance, you just have to go through the process, you know, every the renewal process every 2, 3, whatever, how many years it is. So, yeah, it may not be up to the DIA, but they can set up a process for that employee where they are sponsored by somebody, whether it's a private sector or academia or wherever, and DIA can be part of that, especially if that employee says, you know, I'd like to come back in 3 or 5 or 7 years.